This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the Billiken Sports Network from Learfield, live from Ballpark Village in downtown St. Louis, this is the Billiken Coaches Show, brought to you by Edward Jones. Edward Jones is a proud sponsor of Billiken Athletics. The key to being rich is knowing what counts. Let's find your rich. And by Royal Banks of Missouri, the community bank for your community. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Billikens, Bob Ramsey.
And good evening, everyone. Glad you're with us. And we're at Ballpark Village, and I haven't been here in a long time. I'm Bob Ramsey, and alongside, of course, the star of the show, Josh Schertz. Coach, I haven't been here in a long time, and I've never done a radio show from here, here at the FanDuel section. Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
Really impressed. My first time in here. So
is that right?
Yeah, this is my this is it. I'm breaking the seal right now on this. So this is my first time. It's awesome, though. What a cool venue. What a cool setup.
And a great spot to watch games.
Oh, my God.
Including Billiken games and what have you.
Absolutely. No, what a great place to watch. I mean, the TVs, the setup, it's fantastic. So my first time in, but certainly won't be my last.
So we've got a lot to talk about today. We've got a couple of months to cover here so we can catch everybody up. Tell me a little bit about as we got into the season, and with 2 months plus under our belts, have things evolved sort of as you anticipated? Are some things better, some things worse? I mean, with a gaudy record and only one loss, there'd have to be more good than bad, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think, you always go into a year with an idea of what you hope will happen and how you think things will unfold. And the reality is it very rarely unfolds
right
the way you thought. I think the one thing I've learned over, 18 years now as a head coach and 28 years in college coaching is every season is filled with unforeseen circumstances. And sometimes unforeseen circumstances are stuff that's really good for you and that really helps your team. And sometimes those unforeseen circumstances are things that are really difficult for you and are things maybe you have to, work through or work around, or maybe you can't work around them. And so I think, what's been probably really cool about this year is that for the most part, it's kind of unfolded the way we hoped. We thought we had really good depth, and we do. We thought we could play, nine guys on a consistent basis, and we have. I'm knocking on wood, but been healthy.
Yep.
We've had, except for illness, we've had our guys available for games, which is a huge part of, being successful. There's when you're in sports, you have to be really, really good, and you got to have good fortune. Being really good isn't enough. And so, to this point, it's kind of worked out the way we hoped. I think we thought we would play exceptionally fast. We have. We thought we would be able to press and be just more disruptive defensively. I think we've been, we're one of the better defense in the country. It's kind of an underrated thing. I think we're second or third in the country in field goal percentage defense, and top three in the country in defensive rebounding.
Yet there have been a couple of games where, and you're such a great guy and such a gentleman, but there have been a couple of games where it might be safe to say you were a little prickly regarding defense.
Yeah, I think it's. People would they don't look at it that way, but that's the backbone of everything we do. All the offense comes from defense. Our ability to not just get stops but get rebounds, to get out in transition. We want to be disruptive. We want to create turnovers. We want to make it very difficult for you to play against us on that end of the floor. And our defense and our rebounding, obviously fuel our offense. And I think sometimes people get it, confused or they put the one before the other, but it's not. We're playing offense and then, you know, it's just defense. Like, if you're going to win at the highest levels, there has to be a consistency to your defense. Shooting is an incredible variant in basketball. Sometimes the shots go in, sometimes they don't. That's true for you and true for the opponent. All you can do is try to offensively get as good a shot as you can every possession, defensively make it as hard as you can. Once the ball's in the air, you know, there's really nothing you can do about it. And that's where the really good teams, you know, they can win when they don't make shots, because they're able to, from a defensive standpoint, from a rebounding standpoint, from the shot quantity standpoint in terms of how many shots we're getting versus our opponent through turnovers, our turnovers, forcing turnovers, through our defensive rebounding, offensive rebounding, you're creating a margin, a cushion through that you know, shot quantity that can, you know, get you through. So our defense, I thought the last two games, you know, taken out, you know, Principia, because I don't really, that one, it doesn't register
yeah,
to me.
New Hampshire, St. Joe's.
But New Hampshire and St. Joe's, over a point of possession, which is a number we look at. Like, I don't really look at 79, which is what both teams scored, because that's not as really relevant to me. Like, if they score 79 and there was 100 possessions, that's a great defensive game.
Point per possession is pretty much accepted as a goal, right?
Yeah, that's like the median of like you would say, like, that's the Mendoza line to use baseball.
And so defensively, if you keep your opponent under one, you're fairly happy.
Yes.
If they go over one, you're fairly unhappy.
Right, and if it's, you know, if you're a .9, I think you win like 95% of the time. So
really?
Like, yeah, I mean, there's like these different metrics of where you are. And so, you know, and we've, you know, like offensively against St. Joe's, we were almost like 1.5, 1.6, I think, a possession.
I think it was 1.6 something.
Yeah, 1.6 something. So we gave up 1.2, which is terrible.
Normally wouldn't be good for a win.
Normally you're not going to win. You know, if we go 12 for 32 from three in that game, we probably lose. You know, we went 19 for 32. That's a variance, but you can get, you know, and it's easy, and it's different, you know, as a fan, I get it. But, like, you know, we talk to our guys, like, you know, don't get drunk on outcomes. You know, don't let an outcome, you know, take, you know, not allow you to learn the lesson from the game. Sometimes the outcome is not in your favor, and you did some really good stuff, and that stuff still counts. Like, and sometimes the outcome's in your favor,
but you stink.
You stink, and man, you know, you didn't play well, but you won, and it's so easy in those scenarios to blow off the areas of concern because you won. The outcome tells you you won, and you're fine. And then the other way, when you lose, it's easy to take the stuff you did well and say, ah, that stuff didn't matter because we, you know, we lost the game, so it doesn't. And I think you have to. You know, you have to. It takes a little bit, you know, the night, but you got to strip the emotion away, and you got to really take the lessons from the game, and then you take them, you apply them, you fly them forward, and you're better for your next turn up. And that's the goal each and every game, is to grow and learn from each experience, and then try to take the lessons, fly them forward, and give us forward momentum into our next, you know, opportunity, which now is VCU. So we have to take the lessons from St. Joe's, and there were lessons. And there was things we did super, you know, at a really high level that we want to continue to sustain those things and continue to build on and do those things, because those things were terrific. And then there was areas of concern that we got to address and go back to work. And, you know, you throw the outcome out and you get to the what the game really tells you. And that takes a level of humility.
Mm-hmm.
It takes discipline. It takes maturity to do that, because most people can't separate the outcome from, you know, the actual real deal. And that's the difference in, as we talk about to our players, you know, competitors' mindset and the audience's mindset. You know, the audience, they don't have to worry about that. They see 102, they see 19-3s, they win, and they should be. They don't have to worry about the intricacies of what's going on. But us and the competitor, just like when you lose, with a fan, you know, the audience, they don't have to see any good. You know, they just see, hey, we lost to Stanford, the game was terrible. And had that shot missed at the end, it would have been great. We you know, but that's okay, because that's the audience's mentality. That's what they should be. I don't know enough about, like, I grew up in New York. I'm a Giants fan, a Yankees fan. Like, you know, I don't know enough about the game to know the intricacies of what they're doing. I know
right.
If we win, we lose, and you know, and the basics. And the same thing for other fans. So it's not a negative. It just is what it is. But you can't, as a competitor, have that mentality and then do what you need to do.
I want to go back to the offense in a minute. But first, I want to talk about defense. I always thought, and go ahead and beat me down if I'm wrong about this, but at given equal levels of athleticism, anybody can defend.
Correct. I agree with that.
It's all about technique and desire. I have the desire, you teach me the technique, and we can defend, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that should always be consistent.
Yeah, no, it is. And you know, there's a tendency when you're as good offensively as we are to maybe, you know, not hold the rope that hard on that end and say, well, you know, okay, we gave up this, but we're going to come back and do this. And, man, is that a slippery slope to get on? I think, you know, defense is something where a lot of defense is what we call, like, the invisible plays. And there's a lot of invisible plays in basketball that drive winning. And by invisible, you know, there are things that don't get box score validation. So nobody's like, you know, oh, you know, man, you did an unbelievable job in transition defense, you know, picking up the ball and plugging, or you canceled so many ball screens, or gosh, you know, your pick and roll coverage was tremendous, your protection was great, or your gaps were awesome, and you made the team pick the ball up early, or, you know, I mean, there's, you know, you got through 100 screens in this game without getting screened. What a unbelievable, right? So a lot of defense, there's a lot of stuff on offense too, but defense more is a lot of invisible. And
So if you could pick out, you mentioned four or five different categories there on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of things right now that's concerning you or that you've already addressed in practice. What are those?
I mean, there's a lot. You know, our ball pressure has to be better. Our gaps, you know, I thought we left each other on islands too much. We want to pressure the ball, which is a big part of our offense, is to speed you up. But to pressure the ball, you're going to get beat some. Now, we got to be better at the point of attack.
And rotating. And
yeah, well, even being in the gaps and making the person pick the ball up early and not being hugged up to your guy. And when the ball is driven in your gap, being able to be in a position to rip at the ball and try to steal it, but also fire out and get to your guy, which is a multiple effort play, which, you know, is a huge part of what we do. I thought when the ball got to the rim, we didn't do a good enough job, our low man, of rotating over and making competitive plays to the rim. They got too many plays where we call it crack the shell. They cracked our shell, and there wasn't somebody there, and there's always should be somebody there. I thought our protection and our ball screen coverage, we were more aggressive in our ball screen coverage against St. Joe's because they shoot off the dribble so well. Thought we tagged a few times from the wrong guy and gave up some threes. We missed some, we call them rovers, where they drove at baseline, and the guy was supposed to fan out, play two, got sucked in. They kicked the ball to the corner, made a couple threes. I mean, there's a lot of things when you go into it that were like, I don't think it was effort breakdowns. I think it was execution breakdowns. I think we were playing hard. But there's a, you know, playing hard without thinking negates playing hard. Just like if you're thinking you're doing the right things, you're doing half speed. You know, it's no different, right? Like being in the right place but going half speed is not going to get it done. And going a million miles an hour but not being disciplined in terms of the execution piece is not going to get it done. It's the ability to compete and execute at the same time that makes really good teams and really good players. And I thought, you know, it wasn't that we weren't necessarily willing, although I thought we weren't great on the ball, and I thought we let our offense kind of bleed into our defense in a negative way. But, you know, I think that was like, you know, the opposite of San Francisco and some of the games where our defense kind of held the fort for us. The last two games, I've seen some slippage in execution areas that we've really tried to address here over the last, you know, three, 4 days we've met to practice.
Yeah, and so when you talk about on that defensive end and not helping when you need to or being in those gaps and that sort of thing, people sometimes misinterpret what we say when we're playing man-to-man defense. It's really as much of or more of a team defense than zone sometimes.
Yes.
And sometimes, and not that it's a conscious thing, but I know I've got to guard you, but I know I have responsibilities here. You have to trust that if you help, somebody will help your spot. And sometimes in the moment, that trust can evaporate.
Yeah, I always say, you know, I tell the team this, you know, you can do retreats and, you know, hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And the absolute best team builder is learning to be good defensively. The amount of communication and trust, like to your point, it takes to be good defensively. It's the best team builder you can do. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. I would take being good defensively over any retreat or any kind of, you know, whatever, going doing the Marine thing. There's nothing better than getting good defensively because you got to talk, you got to cover for each other. And you're right. Like when people think man to man, it's not like you're not just guarding your guy. You know, offenses are too good to just, you know, I'm going to guard my man. Well, right. What if that man beats you and drives past you? Then is he just going to lay it in every time? There's got to be help. And when there's help, if that guy's going to help you, then somebody's got to help him. And then somebody's got to play two on the backside and be ready to fire out and X out. And there's all kinds of rotations and multiple efforts and the ability to shrink the floor and be in your gaps. And so when, you know, that the person, the ball, sees a crowded floor, and our whole defense and everywhere is different. VCU very much is tries to not help a lot. You know, they try to make you, you know, finish one-on-one. And so we'll probably shoot less threes than we normally do on Wednesday just because the way they're going to guard us, right? Like,
yeah.
Going to the game thinking, man, we might shoot about as many threes as we made against St. Joe's, mm-hmm. just because the way they're going to guard us. Where our defense is designed to pressure the ball, be disruptive, but we want to be in our gaps, shrink the floor. We want to make a crowded floor for the player to see. But we want to protect in, explode out, and then we want to trust our closing speed. But if we crack our shell, we got to trust that there's a help, and that somebody's helping the helper, and then somebody's helping the guy who's helping the help. And it all has to work in concert. It's a very intricate process, but if one person doesn't do their job, you know, the whole thing falls apart. And that's where, you know, at the point of attack, we got to be better because we're getting driven too much. Our help's got to be better, and our help, the helper's got to be better. And there's a lot of, you know, like, you know, cascading causes of, like, they got 14 offensive rebounds, and some of that was, you know, we got driven and got the ball on the rim, and we were in rotations, but we didn't rotate to help the helper, and so they got offensive rebounds there. Some of those guys not rebounding down on long threes. And so you go through, I mean, defense is a very intricate dance, and most of the things that happen on there are invisible, and you don't do those invisible things unless you really care deeply about team success. Because there's not a lot of, like I said, there's not a lot of fans don't know it, your parents yeah. don't know it, you know, people don't see it. No one's, you know, I mean, being physical on ball screens and not getting screened, what an unbelievable thing to be able to do. Isaiah Swope was unbelievable out of Julian Larry. The best defenders, you can't ball screen them because they're into the ball. They're so physical over the top of it. And the ability to cancel, but, like, I don't know that anybody talks about Isaiah Swope and be like, man, you know, he's unbelievable at canceling ball screens. Like, unless you're a coach or a GM. Like,
interesting.
Like, it's one of the great things about him was his ability to pressure the ball, and you couldn't ball screen him. So it was an awesome thing to have as a coach. Definitely that Julian Larry the year before at Indiana State. It's something we work on relentlessly, but being physical, bullying the ball, like, but that's an invisible play that nobody besides coaches, teammates, and, you know, maybe pro teams that are watching.
Insiders, yeah.
Yeah, really, really would even notice in the side of a game.
That's Josh Schertz. This is the Billiken Coaches Show. I want to remind everybody that we're brought to you by Royal Banks of Missouri. And if you're planning to purchase a home in 2026, it's all about Royal Banks and their mortgage lenders offering competitive rates and personalized service to help find the right home loan option for you. Visit royalbanksofmo.com to learn more today. Royal Banks of Missouri, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. And we'll be back to Ballpark Village in a moment with Josh Schertz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Ballpark Village. Host this year for the Billiken Coaches Show. Glad you're with us. I'm Bob Ramsey. Of course, Josh Schertz is here. And Coach, I want to talk a little bit about the offense, and we've been talking about misnomers and figuring out what we're actually watching. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when somebody says, oh, they really play fast, I think the tendency for the average person is to think it's kind of we're at the rec center, run, shoot, and holler.
Right.
And that's what you think of when you think, oh, we're just running up and down the floor.
Right.
But in my observation this year is that it's maybe more involved than any sort of patterned offense anybody could possibly run. It's really detailed.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, what do they say? Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication or something like that, isn't it?
Oh.
You know, so I think...
If they didn't say it, they should have.
They should have. I could copyright that if nobody said it. Somebody smart said it. Somebody way smarter than me. But, you know, yeah, we spend a lot of time you know, with our guys. And I think a lot of what we do, you know, is conceptual. You know, we call it organized randomness. We're not coming down and running a play every single time and saying, okay, you go here. And I think there's a difference. You know, offense can be patterns or it can be rhythm. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be both.
If we're coming down the floor, as your players observe just kind of the way the floor is moving, they know where to go. And part of what you teach is to teach recognition of those things, right?
Yes, exactly. That's a part of it. And I think, you know, there's times where, like, I'll see something. If the referee touches the ball, I'll call something. I may see something in transition, and I may, you know, everything we do is hand signal, so I may yell and give a hand signal if I want something specific.
Yeah.
But, yeah, most of the time they're coming down, and they're reading, you know, what the defense does. And there's, you know, 5, 6, 7 things that they can get to that everybody knows that are all – you know, a hand signal, whether it's, you know, playing into a pistol or playing to a way or playing to five or playing to these different things, you know, wide, whatever it is, you know, snap, whatever it may be. They can play to that, and they don't really need me to get to it. What I would tell them in huddles is like, hey, we should play to this more. Or as we get into the game planning of how we're going to attack a St. Joe's or a VCU, you know, we need to do these things. Here's things we can do that would be good against – the way they're going to defend us. Maybe the way they defend us is different.
So the players are already thinking about already thinking anticipating. About.
And then in a huddle, I may say, hey, look, we got to get to more of this action. Like the stuff we do, you know, when Robbie's at the five is maybe slightly different than the stuff we do when Paul's at the five because they have a different skill set. When they're together is different than when one of them's in, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's not always like cookie cutter of, you know, we run a lot more, you know, double ball screens when Paul and Robbie are in together to get Robbie's usage rate up. We don't do it as much when they're in there by themselves. You know, Robbie, because he can shoot, we do different things. Paul, because he speed rolls, we do different things. When the five guards are out there, they do it like the nuanced things are different. So, you know, the way we play, because we're not running a bunch of plays, allows us to play any kind of combination. Like, we could play and have no problem playing, you know, Jax, Paul, and Robbie together and playing three bigs. That's fine. We could also play with no bigs.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could play with two bigs or one big or whatever the big
pick the variable,
rolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's and so I think, you know, that's where we spend a lot of time in the summer and throughout the year, you know, getting them to understand, you know, how to create advantages, who you are, how you create advantages, how to maintain advantages, you know, which basically boils down to, you know, what we call QB decisions, you know, guys at the rim with the ball, because that might be Robbie at the rim. It could be Quentin Jones. It could be Trey Green. It could be Brady Dunlap. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
You know, it could be Paul Otieno, right? I mean, at the rim. So how do you create advantages? QB decisions that we would call, you know, on-air decisions, and then active spacing. So how we space to give the QB the right reads, and then when the ball comes out of the paint to us, you know, simplifying our on-air decisions. And so we spend a lot of time offensively, you know, understanding that, understanding spacing, understanding the coverages we'll see, how to attack different coverages. We don't go into a game and say, okay, well, they're switching, so here's the playbook against switching. It's like, okay, they're switching. Here's – they know how to attack switching. Or, hey, they're in drop. Or, hey – they're switching off the ball, or they're through off the ball, or whatever the case may be.
So you declare that, and the guys automatically know.
They know. But we've spent time in June, July, you know, August, September, October, you know, and all the way through the season, we'll drill, like, you know, we'll spend time in practices of what we think we'll see. But we've seen, you know, like, we, you know, we think VCU is going to guard a certain way, and so we'll attack that. And then sometimes, you know, we thought St. Joe's would do something. They didn't do exactly what we thought they would do. They guard us more straight up than what we thought. And so we spend time. But you know what? We did it for San Francisco, and San Francisco did guard us the way we thought. And so – but we usually see everything the way we play. And because it's rhythm, not patterns, guys kind of figure out who they are. And then they can be who they are, whoever they're on the floor with. Like, it doesn't change – if Amari McCautry's playing with Paul and Robbie, that's fine. He should be who he is. If he's playing – with Paul or Robbie, that's also fine. He's playing without either one of those guys, and he's out there
being
with
himself.
Four of the guards.
Yeah.
He just needs to play to his identity and in character of who he is. Now, maybe there's nuanced differences, but, you know, but nothing of significance. And so that's always been, like, the magic of it. It's also why the offense tends to get better as the year goes on, because guys get more comfortable with understanding who they are and who their teammates are and where to be aggressive and how to play with whoever it is. And that's why year over year, guys tend to get better. And if we can have, if we can retain a core group of guys, that gives us the best chance to be successful because of
that continuity.
That continuity and, yeah, and the offense, they get more and more comfortable with that accumulated mileage with each other.
Let me. I want to play a highlight from the St. Joe's game, and an example of one of the things I love seeing develop this year. And it was the Billikens had like a 20-point lead, 21-point lead, and Thames found Robbie Avila in a really fun place for me, anyway.
Yeah.
Thames on the right wing. Thames crossover in the paint, kick out. Robbie trailing. Bang! He got it. Thames to Avila.
Just Kellen with the push. Robbie just saunters up court and with the trail.
They know to find the trailer, don't they?
Yes, they do.
When it's Robbie.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, what's really fun about that for me is it is a thing, and I can see why when he's out there and trailing the play, it creates quite a conundrum for a defender, especially if it's a big guarding him. I got to protect the rim. And he's out there 25 feet away. Yep. If I go get in his face, he's going to find somebody open and nobody's there to protect the rim. And it's got to drive opposing coaches crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's transition is, you know, you're always hunting, you know, advantages, creating advantages, and transition's a great way to do it. When the ball's coming up in Kellen Thames' hands, you know, he's so good. We say, you know, we call it punching gaps, where, like, you know, you're driving, the floor is open, and you're, you know, getting your shoulders by and getting the ball in these seams. And, you know, and because Robbie's usually not there, you know, he's running behind the play. You know, his guy is taught to, which we teach all our bigs, is to get to the ball and try to, like, load up and make sure that this guy can't get in there. Well, as he does that, Kellen drives it hard, draws two, and now he plays off 2 feet and he gets off the ball on time. And now Rob's stepping into a rhythm three. And as you said, it's not on the three-point line. It's 3 or 4 steps behind the three-point line. And that's where Rob's ability, you know, the gravity, the horizontal gravity he provides, you know, is just such a unique deal. I mean, every team we play has to game plan for him. You know, VCU is going to spend a lot of time on us the next 2 days, or did today and will tomorrow. And a big portion of that's going to be Robbie.
Yeah.
And how are we going to deal with him? You know, who are we going to put on him? How are we going to guard him? Because, you know, they know in transition and then, you know, in his spacing and then his passing. And, you know, how do you want to guard his actions when he screens on the ball? Do you, you know, what do you want to do? You know, because he's a big part of anybody's game plan.
And if you put a little on him, he's just going to take his time and back you down, do the Robbie moves, and then he's going to get a layup.
Yep, and exactly. And then if you double him, he's a great passer.
He's going to find the open man.
So now, you know, now we're playing 4-on-3, and the advantage we wanted to create has been created. And that's, you know, and so that's a way that he creates advantages. And we've had to do that, you know, less this year, thankfully, because it was a big part of what we do last year. But it's something that certainly we can go to, which makes him so dangerous, is his ability to play in the elbows, what an elite passer he is, and his vision to see not just the cutting, but behind the cutting.
Right.
And then, you know, the horizontal spacing he provides with his shooting, his gravity. And then when he screens in the ball, I mean, you got to give some sort of coverage, you know. And, you know, like St. Joe's played drop, and that's really hard coverage to play against Rob, because he hits and you're in drop, you know, which is a lot of teams play, where they back the big up and try to keep the ball handler in front. Well, now Robbie just pops, and now, you know, the way we space the floor, it's hard to get to him. And now he's shooting wide open threes. If you switch, as you said, he's going to screen a small. Now he's going to post you. And now you're going to be either playing a post one-on-one, or he's going to, you know, draw two and then play behind that to create the 4-on-3 advantage.
Yeah, and in his last 3 games, he's averaged 17 a game. In his last 2 games, 8 of 14 from beyond the arc.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a center in college basketball. I think he's 55 assists to 23
leads
turnovers.
Leads the nation for bigs.
Yeah, and he's better than 2-to-1.
Yeah.
I mean, shooting, what is he, 47%, 48, 47, something like that?
What
this
is
season?
No, 52.
Really? Wow, that's incredible. So 52 and then 46.
And 46 from three.
So 52 from the field, 46 from three, you know, two-plus assists for every turnover. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
What he's been able to do, and so he's so impressive, the whole package. So it's been remarkable.
So let's play a highlight that put everybody at Chaffetz Arena on their feet from the other day, and then we'll take a break and talk about VCU a little bit. But this was a fun one that brought down the house. Haskins looks in on Dunlap, stolen away by Thames. It's showtime. Jam time on the windmill. Left-handed dunk. Crowd on its feet.
Here, give me another one. No.
Kellen Thames bringing down the house. He almost got him back-to-back. He comes into the game and gets a steal and a dunk. He's 22 of his last 29 from the field. 22 yeah. of 29.
Yeah, you know, he talk about a guy who's kind of finding his footing. You know, he obviously got off to a great start last year. First four games, people forget. You know, they look at the whole season, and he averaged 6-4. He was averaging almost 15-8 the first four
games.
That's
right.
And
dominant.
After that, I don't even count a game from there because he never was close
himself
to full strength. I mean, he played 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. One game he got to 13 minutes, but he never was himself, and he was, you know, so after those first four games, and so he really, you know, had just those little bit, and now, you know, you see him this year, and he's just getting so comfortable inside of what he does. He's got such great instincts on the, you know, to steal the ball, you know, defensively. It's an interesting deal, you know. He's you know, Deion Brown's probably our best on-ball defender, and he doesn't steal the ball a ton. He just is very good
yeah.
on the ball. He doesn't get a lot of, you know, a lot of it's invisible, his ball pressure, some of that. Kellen is a good on-ball defender, but he's by far the best we have at stealing the basketball. His instincts to jump passing lanes, to rip stuff, you know, his cutting, he's understanding offensively what he's doing. He's playing off 2 feet. He's so fast. You know, we had to really work on getting him to learn how to stop. Sounds weird, but he goes so fast, it's hard for him at times to try to, like, slow down to make the right read. So to get him to play off 2 feet and to see the floor, like the play he made for Robbie was such a great play because he drove it, drew guys, and instead of trying to go through, he just played off 2 feet and got it to Robbie and got a wide. And so his growth as a playmaker, his assist turnover ratio is great.
It's unbelievable.
You know, his assist turnover ratio is fantastic. He's offensive rebounding. He steals the ball at an unbelievable clip. He's played inside of, like, who he is. You know, he doesn't try to do stuff. That's the one thing I really – when that second group comes on the floor, it's such a good offensive group in general because – that second group knows who they are. Like, Kellen Thames not going to be out there bombing, you know, 30-footers. Ish Sharma, Brady Dunlap aren't trying to do what Kellen Thames is doing. Paulo Tieno knows who he is. Like, those four guys, there's no question as to who they are as players, what they're going to come in the game trying to do. They have the humility and awareness to understand themselves. They don't try to be anybody they're not. They very rarely, you know, make mistakes in terms of, like, ooh, that was out of character. Like, they're always in character. And that's why that second group has been great for us in terms of, like, being able to turn games. And Kellen is a key cog in that because, you know, while he's jumping past, he's like Ish and Brady are containment defenders. They're not going to do that kind of stuff. Paul's versatility to guard 1 through 5. And
yeah, you can switch everybody out.
Switch everybody out, and he's got great rim protection. And then Paul and Kellen on the offensive glass, that group rebounds it like crazy because those two guys go to the offensive glass so hard. They do, you know, an unbelievable job of getting us extra possessions, which, again, in today's game, you know, what wins is shot quantity, you know, who gets the most shots, and then shot quality, you know, the shot profile of a team. So, you know, your ability to go get those rebounds, offensive rebounds, is huge. And Kellen's, you know, just been his whole game is coming together. And I still think, you know, as we go, he's still got levels and levels. He can shoot the ball better. He's, you know, he's still got stuff he can do, but, man, is he impactful to winning at such an extraordinarily high level.
As we go to a break, I want to remind you folks about Royal Banks and how you manage your money at any time with digital banking from Royal Banks of Missouri. Monitor your accounts, deposit checks, add your debit card to your mobile wallet, plus more, all from your device. And you can download the Royal Banks mobile app just to get it started. Royal Banks of Missouri, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Well, big game coming up right away, early in conference schedule. It's VCU, and we'll talk about it when we come back. This is the Billiken Coaches Show from Ballpark Village.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Billiken Coaches Show at Ballpark Village. Coach Josh Schertz is here. I wanted to get through a couple of other superlatives of what we've been seeing lately, and then we'll get into VCU on Wednesday. We already mentioned Kellen. We already mentioned Robbie, a guy that people don't talk about enough. He's almost like a silent assassin. Quentin Jones is 11 for his last 16, averaging 14 points a game in his last two. But more than the points, he's like that glue guy. He makes everything else go, doesn't he?
Really does. He's turned into a such a good player, and Q's, he's 6'5". He can handle the ball. He plays kind of as the closest thing we'd have to a point guard, in our system. So impressed with how much he's grown in terms of his decision making. Is you'd have to look at his stats, but I think coming out of Stanford, his assist turnover ratio is probably better than 3-1, in favor of assists. His rim decisions, he's coachable, he's super competitive, competes his tail off defensively, rebounds the basketball, can get the ball downhill, he's shooting the ball much better. He's a guy that is as good a two-way combo guard, in my opinion, as there is in the Atlantic 10. He can defend and take on a lot of different challenges on that end of the floor, and then offensively, he's got the ability to get downhill. He can make threes. He's turned into a good passer. He can play in pick and roll. He's starting to understand cutting, which is really gonna open up his game as he understands that, because he's got such good size. And so he's such a good target as a cutter, to be 6'5", doing it. So he's really good in transition. I mean, there you can go on and on. But he's a huge part of why we're 13-1. His ability to do things on both ends of the floor. And as he shot it better, and as he's gotten, he's letting the game come to him more. I've just seen him grow and grow and grow. And another, just like we talked about with Kellen, I think that. There's still so much more between where he is and where he's going to be and what he's going to look like here in the next, 2 months as he gets more game reps and more comfortable inside of what we do.
Another guy that has been playing really well and is does more than the big splashy three-point shooting, although in the last five games he's 18 of 31 from the arc. Anyway, but his assist turnover ratio and Ish Sharma is just he's everything you told me he was going to be this summer.
Yeah, I'm super. Ish was somebody that I watched in high school. I got a chance to watch him in AAU, and we recruited him in Indiana State, so we developed a relationship with he and his family. And then, he got to a point where he was, he got above us and was unrecruitable for us, and went to Virginia, and I kind of followed, not closely, but kept tabs. And when he went in the portal, he was somebody that we felt like was – I just felt like he was such a great fit for our system.
And we see it, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great movement shooter. He's every bit of 6'5", maybe 6'6". He can really pass. He's not dynamic, blow by you, quickness.
Plays.
Yeah, he's a low-mistake guy. He understands how to play. He makes the right reads. He does the right things. He's in the right places defensively. He's an elite movement shooter. He's got a quick release. He's got great size. He's got a great IQ. His IQ drives everything on both ends of the floor. It's kind of like with Robbie, there's guys, you want to recruit guys either have great, physical quickness, and if they don't have great physical quickness, have guys who have great mental quickness. You look at Robbie, you look at Ishan, you look at Brady, those are guys who, they're not going to, blow you, away with their quick twitch athleticism or vertical athleticism, but those three guys really think the game at a high level, and that's what really makes them what they are. And so Ish has been just so good for us. He's just such a solid player. He doesn't turn it over, as you mentioned. He gets the ball where it's supposed to go to, and then he's got great gravity. I mean, the three he made, sprinting towards
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean,
on the move, spinning, turning, and
sprinting,
nothing but net.
Yeah, and it's just such a hard shot.
Yeah,
and in this system, guys get these movement shots, and I think we talked about the game, that was something that Gibb got so good at last year. It's how he went from 70-some threes to 110 was the ability to make those movement threes. And Ish and Gibb was funny. Gibb couldn't do it in the summer last year. He just struggled with it. And, they just, you know, the staff does, and I think it's a good time to hit on. Like, you know, the staff does such a good job. And I'm talking about, you know, Alex Peebler, Phil Gaetano, Sam Mervis, Jason Fang, the guys that are out there every day with our guys, working and working. It's the invisible work that, right, that you know, you guys see it in the games, but there's so much invisible work that happens in the, you know, in the practice facility and in the arena court in the mornings when no one's there, and these guys are repping, sprinting off and getting these and making the reads, and our staff does an unbelievable job, but Ish is as and I said this, I think Ish and Brady both are as ruthlessly consistent in the invisible spaces as anybody I've been around in terms of the work they do. And there's probably, I know there's a ton that I don't even see, but the stuff I see, they're so ruthlessly consistent in those invisible spaces every day about getting their work in.
One more guy I want to talk about before we get to VCU, and you mentioned him, Brady Dunlap. A guy who came in, and I asked you about him this summer, and you kind of were slow rolling me on what he could be because he had to get back into his body, and he had a lot of things he had to figure out. And even at the beginning of the season, but his last four games have been off the charts in more than just the shot, which everybody sees, drives, defense, rebounding. He's really come on.
Really has. He's you know, another guy that in the same mold as Eshaun. He's a little bit different. You know, Brady's a little more dynamic of an athlete. He's bigger. He's probably 6'8".
Yeah.
You know, where Ish is probably, you know, Brady's 6'7", 6'8". Ish is 6'5", 6'6". A little bit bigger, a little bit more dynamic in terms of driving closeouts.
Long arms.
Yeah, long arms. He's a good offensive rebounder. He's got the ability, like Ish, to guard a lot of positions because, you know, they're smart and they're tough and they're big.
And Dunlap, and correct me if I'm wrong, just in games, it seems like he's so doggone competitive.
Yeah. No, he's got he wears it on his sleeve.
Something about him, yeah.
He wears it on his sleeve, you know, maybe more than most of our guys. You know, I think we got a lot of really competitive guys, but Robbie hides it better. Ish hides it better. You know, Trey hides it better. You know, Brady's one of the few guys, Dion, that really wear their competitiveness on their sleeve.
And
you need
it.
Some of those guys.
Yeah.
And Brady's, you know, you could tell he's got a lot of confidence. He's got a lot of belief. He struggled early, you know, and I think a lot of it, you know, was due to just, you know, trying to figure out, you know, our system's different. And
yeah,
he played in a system at St. John's, and there was nuanced difference. He also was hurt a ton last year. He had, I think, two surgeries last year during the season for them, redshirted, had a surgery in the spring, missed the first few weeks of the summer, recovering from that surgery. And then, has kind of gotten his feet under him. And as the season went on, you know, what he's discovered, which I think is a great thing, is that he doesn't have to, you know, make shots to stay out there. You know, his job is to play a good enough floor game. And by floor game, I mean the things he does defensively, utilizing his gravity, cutting, spacing, sprinting, setting screens, you know, his ball screen defense, offensive and defensive rebound. There's so many things.
Moving
the ball properly, connecting, getting off it to his teammates, you know, making plays on closeouts. He needs to do those things. His job is to play a good enough floor game that when he's not making shots, I still feel like, hey, I should play him. And I'm at the point now where whether he's making shots or not, Ish too, I feel like, yeah, I should play these guys because, you know, you have trust the next one's going in.
Yeah.
I've seen them shoot. I have, you know, all, you know, put Trey in that same group, Robbie. There are four guys who are like elite shooters. I have faith in their shooting. But the goal as a player is to say, hey, look, if I, you know, shooting is a variance. Sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. If I'm not making shots, you could still play me because I'm doing all these other things that drive winning. And then when I am making shots, you should play me a lot. But even when I'm not, I should be able to play out here, and you should give me minutes because I'm doing all these other things that are impacting winning for my team. And that's how I feel with Brady. It's how I feel with Ish. And the great thing for those guys, you know, they're just sophomores. You know, they're still, you know, kind of, and they're new in our system. So these are guys that are coming along,
and they're going to grow,
and they're going to grow, and they're going to be better. And you see how much better Ish has gotten, how much better Brady's gotten, Trey. You know, those guys are making major progress.
We're going to take a break, and as promised, we will talk about VCU when we come back. This is the Billiken Coaches Show from Ballpark Village. Stay with us. We have just a minute left, but I'm just going to put it this way. Coach, Wednesday, VCU.
Yeah, great team. Best team we've played so far this year to this point. Hostile environment, as good a place to play as there is. I think that's exactly what our team needs to see where we are. You know, it's nothing better than going into a hostile road environment against an unbelievably good team. and to get a gauge as to where we are. I think our guys, I know they're chomping the bit to get there, land in Richmond, prepare, and it should be an unbelievable game Wednesday night.
Thanks, Coach. See you at the Siegel Center on
Can't
Wednesday.
Can't wait, Rammer. See you there.
And we'll have all the action for you right here on KMOX. It's been the Billiken Coaches Show from Ballpark Village. Stay with us on KMOX all night long.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.